Tech is a bi-weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Welcome back to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 765, and we're recording it on December 11th. That's a Thursday in 2025. My name is Martin Spriggs. This is a show about technology and ministry and where those two intersect. And sitting right beside me and joining me as usual, or maybe not as usual, Sally Draper. Hello, Sally.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be here at the Wells Center for Mission and Ministry in person and color coordinated, no less.
Yeah, if you've got to tune into the video for this one and see my ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, we're enjoying a day of technology meetings here at the CMM and decided it was appropriate to dress up for the day.
Yeah. It's always fun to, I think there's a different dynamic. I think we mention this every time when we do a show in person versus over Zoom. I think there's just a more conversational style. I think I feel more comfortable. So it's a neat thing to get in the same room at the same time. So any big Christmas plans?
Well, this weekend, actually, we're going up to see our kids in Kakana, where my son serves as pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church there in Kakana, and enjoy their cookie walk, which is actually a highlight for me. They have this wonderful event where they just spread all the tables with a mixture of all the cookies, and you walk through, not with a little plate or anything, but like with a coffee can to fill up with cookies. So that's a highlight for Christmas plans for us.
That is
Otherwise, we'll be home in North Mankato and family coming there to celebrate with us.
And we turned down the temperature here just for you guys.
Yes, lovely, lovely, cool Milwaukee weather, right. And even going further north. So we'll be chilly this weekend.
Yeah. Our Christmas is at home, which is kind of nice. We've got two girls in the area, so they'll be joining us.
And a few grandkids.
And some grandkids. Exactly right. Yeah. And my daughter's birthday is December 14th, so she kind of gets double duty here. Mm-hmm. So we'll be celebrating that this weekend, too.
Awesome.
So it's fun.
Happy birthday.
So we're going to kind of continue that Christmassy theme for episode 765 here, but we have to get our AI fix in there as well.
Yes.
It turns out AI and Christmas can go together, and we found a couple of different ways to do that. We're going to do kind of a fun little contest, Sally. We haven't done a contest in a long, long time.
We haven't, and this is going to be unique because we definitely want to invite everyone to participate, and there's even prizes on the line.
So yep, so we're going to draw a winner from a random selection, but before we get to that, let's talk about what we're going to ask, how you enter. And it is AI related, but it's kind of a fun Christmassy kind of thing as well. So I've been reading some articles, and you know, you see all these uses for AI in the holiday season, and there is a trend. I don't know if I'd call it a trend, a fad of coloring books, both for kids and adults. Are you a colorer?
I am not, but my father-in-law is.
Is that right?
So I just bought some coloring books for Christmas gifts for him. So don't listen to this podcast yet.
So what we're going to do is we are going to see how AI can help us build a coloring book. And we'll put a couple of things in the show notes if you're not quite sure how to do that. There are some standalone applications, but some good, using good old ChatGPT or Microsoft Designer or a few other tools, you can create coloring book pages. And what we want you to do, and following some of the tools that we have here, there are kind of nuanced prompts that you would probably need to feed your AI agent of choice to get the desired result. So I did this, and this was from a blog post, I think, or maybe even Gemini helped me put this together. I don't remember. But I was able to just create a couple of random coloring book pages. I asked it to create Martin Luther, even though we're a little past Reformation. It's got a Lutheran flavor to it.
There you go.
I thought about a Jell-O mold or something to do with Jell-O, red or green Jell-O. I did also one of the angels appearing to the shepherds in Bethlehem. So the prompts, let me tell you what the prompt was. Excuse me. So for Microsoft Designer, and that's a free program, designer.microsoft.com, the prompt is to kind of get to getting a good coloring page is to be very specific about what to not put in the image, because really all you want is a line drawing for, mm-hmm. for a good coloring page. Mm-hmm. So the prompt is, the prompt that I use is a black and white coloring page, and then you can say whether it's for adults or kids. The one I use was for kids, of, let's say, the angels visiting the shepherds in Bethlehem. Thick lines, white background, no shading, no grayscale, simple vector style. And I basically gave it that prompt, and the first shot, I didn't have to make any changes, was what I'll share in the show notes as well. Very nicely done. You can even give it the size. I said make it square, so you can kind of be as specific as you want. But I think the prompt is kind of the key here.
So what can we learn from this? First of all, AI isn't necessarily your enemy. It can do some really cool and creative things for you. And it's also not as complex as maybe people make it out to be. So a very simple prompt, but very specific. And prompting is kind of the key to unlocking all of the capabilities mm-hmm. of AI. So, and also, I don't think you made up that prompt by yourself. You asked AI to give you an appropriate prompt yep. to get a good coloring page or whatever. So it can be your friend to actually kind of structure things as well.
Yep. Help it help you. And that was one thing that I learned, you know, fairly early on, that, you know, always kind of ask the AI how you can write a better prompt. And that's kind of built into all of my prompts. Like Gemini, you can put in a profile and say, whenever you do something, suggest... Whenever you give me an answer, suggest how I could have produced a better prompt. And then then it will even ask me, do you want to execute that prompt? So I just say yes or no.
Nice.
So that's the case here. A couple of the other tools that it came up with, Adobe Express, which is paid for, but also a free version, so you could use that. Colorbliss.art, that is one specifically for coloring books. Mm-hmm. There's a free tier. I think you can get up to 12 images.
I played with that one some. It was
okay.
Pretty easy to do.
Yep. And then Crayola, go figure, has has a tool as well. So.
Awesome. So are we going to have a particular theme to this coloring book we're generating?
Or? I think maybe Christmas Lutheran themes would be great. Mm-hmm. Keep it in that space. So Christmas scenes, it can be fun. It can be, it doesn't necessarily have to be biblical, but just kind of a wide variety. Can be for kids or adults or a mix and match. We'll just see what we get. And what we'll do is bring it all together in a kind of a publishable PDF and share that with everybody. And then anybody who has submitted at least one, we'll put in a drawing for... You know, we've got some things around here that are worth sharing. Wellsware, so we've got some long sleeve T-shirts or polos. We have Wells blankets. We have drinkware. We'll let you choose.
Nice.
So we'll kind of take a picture of what's available. And if you're the winner, we will send one of those things out to you.
That's
of
awesome.
Your choice. So pretty cool. I think this exercise will be interesting to see the lengths that you can go. AI is kind of incredible at this creative process. You apply a good prompt, and I'm interested to see what it comes back with.
And there are plenty of other things that AI can do for you around the holidays. So if you need some help with event planning or games for your family time or whatever it may be, just dial up a chat window and ask it the questions. Give me some great photo editing and image generation ideas. Or
scavenger hunts, or what's the...
Escape rooms.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I bet so, that would probably give you some good ideas for that too.
Sure. So, I think this fits well with our theme in that you certainly could use these kind of ideas for ministry as well, because AI in ministry is kind of our season-long theme, and you might need some of those kind of things to work with your teens for a party or whatever it may be. So just... let it do the thinking for you or spur your ideas and then run with them in your own direction.
Yep. So very good. Mm-hmm. So a little fun Wells Tech project for you. So it doesn't have to be exhaustive, but just give it a try.
Yeah. You can actually email in those.
Yeah. Email it to wellstech@wells.com.
There you go.
And we'll get it. So. All right. Let's move on to ministry resources. And I bet I know what the resource is this time of year.
Well, actually, a couple of them. We'll start with school Christmas concerts, because they're coming up right away starting this weekend. Martin Luther College, MLC, in New Ulm, Minnesota, is going to have concerts Saturday night, the 13th, and Sunday, the 14th. Saturday night at 7:30, Sunday at 4. And I would venture to guess that they're live streaming both of those. So if you can tune in, that would be awesome. Just head over to the MLC website. Actually, we have a special Wells Events page set up that has everything on it. Also, the seminary is doing their concerts. So Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, December 14th, Sunday at 3 and 7 p.m. So again, live streaming available for those. Later, the 14th and the 18th, Luther Prep is doing their concert. And the 19th, Michigan Lutheran Seminary. So a whole week full of concerts for you to enjoy online. Again, wells.net/events is going to have links to all of those.
Mm-hmm. Another resource that we wanted to throw in here, and our church just did this over Thanksgiving, is the Wells 175th anniversary event. It's a year-long focus on 175 years of God's grace to Wells, and there's a special offering taking place. So what we did at our church was we dedicated the Thanksgiving offering for this specific purpose. So giving, you know, the resources that we received, you know, over the Thanksgiving holidays, just in Thanksgiving for what God has done through Wells. Maybe it's a Christmas offering or whatever, but this is there's all kinds of information on the Wells Historical Institute site. So if you want to learn a little bit more about the history of Wells and share some of that, there's materials, there's a brochure that you can download. There's a QR code for giving, all kinds of things that you could help your congregation appreciate what God has done for them, you know, through Wells Ministries over the years. If, you know, at some point your congregation started because there was an emphasis in either another Wells church or a Wells home mission or world mission that said, we want to create a church here.
So. That's awesome. It says on the Historical Institute site that the anniversary offering is obviously in thanks to the Lord for the blessings of our history, but also to fund the future, the goals we have set in our long-range plan. We've been talking about that 10-year strategic plan over the last several episodes of Wells Tech, and just knowing that the offering will support North American ministry and home missions and congregational services, international ministry and world missions, and worker training in our ministerial education system. So sounds like a wonderful thing to be part of.
Yep, for sure. So that's our ministry resource segment, which leads then into our picks of the week.
Yeah, and mine actually has to do with travel, Martin. I looked back, I think I picked this maybe in 2019, and it even made my picks of the year in 2019, but certainly worth a repeat, and something that I've been using that long is definitely worth a repeat, because I can tell you, if I look back at those picks of the year, even over the years, I maybe am not still using all of them. But this one I am. It's an app, so you can get it on your phone, either Apple or Google supported, Android supported devices, and it's called iExit. It's at iExitApp.com. And basically what it'll do as you're traveling is, if you're on the interstate, it will pick up where your location is. Sometimes you have to tell it whether you're going east or west or north or south, but if you give it long enough, it figures that out as well. Mm-hmm. And then it tells you about every exit that's ahead of you and what resources are available at those exits. So maybe you're in dire need of a gas station. You can find out exactly how many miles it is to the next exit that has a gas station, or you're looking for food options at the next exit, and it'll list all of the different restaurants and things that are available there. So time and time again, I pull it out when we're traveling, just to kind of figure out where it is we want to stop, which Jimmy John's is up ahead that I can order through the app for, and mm-hmm. is close enough for us to get to and pick up, all those kind of things. It also lists hotels and ATM locations as well. So again, it's iExitApp.com, and it's perfect for those of us that are traveling this holiday season.
Awesome. Yeah. I'm assuming there's a paid for version too?
You know, I'm not really sure.
Okay.
I think it's free, that the people that are listed in there maybe pay for the app itself. I've never paid
makes
anything
sense.
For
yeah.
it.
Looks like iOS and Android.
Yep.
I can think of a lot of uses for that.
Definitely. And it tells you the gas prices as well. Mm-hmm. So you can see who has the best price in the area, if you're not that desperate, and go a little further to get a better price or whatever.
Great for holiday traveling.
For sure.
When we're pulling our camper, we're always wondering where that next rest stop is.
Yes.
And because Google isn't always the best at giving that information. So that's helpful too.
Mm-hmm.
So very good. My pick of the week is a little device called Hubitat that I've been using for years now, and it has to do with making your home smarter. It's a home automation tool. Another popular one out there is Home Assistant. Hubitat is very similar. Basically, it's a little mini computer that you plug into your home. It attaches to your Wi-Fi and your router. And ultimately, it allows you to connect all the things. So your smart bulbs, your Ring cameras, your smart TV, all the things that you want to kind of automate in your home. It kind of plays an important role, because there really is no one like smart app like Alexa or Apple Home or any of the other ones that are Google Home that can connect all the things. You know, it's
okay.
pretty complicated to try and find the right devices, the smart bulbs or the smart outlets or whatever. I was just hooking up our Christmas tree
mm-hmm.
so that we could say, you know, turn on Christmas and the Christmas lights would go on.
Yes.
So this makes that happen. So it connects all the things, whether it's a Zigbee or Wi-Fi or Matter or whatever it is. There's all kinds of standards out there, and kind of brings it into one central place, and then can push it out to Alexa or to Apple Home or whatever, and kind of is the go-between. So it makes all the things work together. And there's automations that you can do in there that are maybe even more sophisticated than come with the apps. It's not all that expensive. I don't have the price here, but it's $100-something. There are a couple of different versions of it. But the range is great. It's you just basically operate it through a web page. So you go to a local IP address. You can see all your devices, how they're doing. You can set, you know, light bulb colors, when it should go mm-hmm. on, you know, routines that happen when something else gets turned on. So it's just kind of it'd be a nice Christmas gift, actually, for the techie who wants to kind of up their home automation game. So that's my pick of the week.
That's awesome. I have an automated home. much to the chagrin of most of the other people in it. But for me, with a little bit of a handicap in the works, it's really helpful. For instance, my mother-in-law is legally deaf, so she has hearing issues. But we have a special lamp in her room that's my communication with her. So I can say, turn on Grandma, and she comes downstairs, and she knows I need to talk to her, and so she'll come find me and stuff. So
that's awesome.
But I have always coordinated it through my Alexa app,
right.
It's fine when you initially set things up, but whatever light bulb from whatever company that's in her lamp upstairs, if something were to happen to it, I kind of have to go back to that either Fite or whatever the different manufacturers are of the light bulbs, and we've bought them over time. It just gets really difficult to manage after a period of time and stuff. So that sounds like a real dream come true to have it more manageable.
Yeah. I'm surprised Kevin's not all over this. Is he not involved in the home automation thing?
He lives with it, but he mainly lets me talk
you're the
to
person.
Her. I'm the one
okay.
that has the relationship with Alexa.
All right.
You know, the other day I caught her eavesdropping, and I called her out on it because she just jumped into a conversation without me saying her keyword, Alexa. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, that's great, but you jumped into this conversation without me asking you. And she said, you're right. You caught me. You busted me. I'm going to stop doing that. I'm going to do better. So I've never had that kind of conversation with Alexa, but she really did admit that she was listening in when she shouldn't have been. So.
Yeah, there's the double-edged sword there.
It is,
right?
For sure.
All right. Let's move on to community news and feedback.
Yeah, I want to call out my good friend Michael Vlieger. He's a teacher at Risen Savior Lutheran School in Mankato, Minnesota, and a member of my congregation there at St. Paul's in North Mankato. And he was eager to alert us that ChatGPT, the pro version, is now free for teachers. So K-12 educators can sign up for a free pro account, basically, a paid account normally, but they can get it for free, and it'll remain free through June of 2027. And so the good news about it is it's more of a umbrella type experience, so you can share things with it that don't get shared.
Mm-hmm. So privacy is respected, right?
Most definitely. And it says it even has admin controls for school and district leaders. So it sounds like it has all the bells and whistles. Michael said there was a bit of a sign-up process, but
verification process.
Yeah. And he also shared a link with us to a Tom's Guide article that kind of walks you through the process and explains it all. So we'll have a couple of links in our show notes. If you're K-12, you can get ChatGPT for free.
Yeah. What do you use for AI these days?
I do a lot of Google Gemini personally, and then I use Copilot for my work.
For work stuff. Yeah. Copilot in the work area is kind of cool because it knows, or can know, you know, all the documents that you've created and emails and Teams chats, those kinds of things.
Helps
and
me
it's,
a lot
it's
with
smart.
My SQL.
I use it kind of as a starting point if I need to find something because I'm not always sure where this conversation happened or where this document wound up, and it does a nice job at ferreting that out for me. But yeah, I'm a Gemini fan as well.
Yeah.
But this is a great win. And Google Gemini for Google for workplaces, what are they calling it now? Or schools, they have a similar program, I think, too.
Okay,
so.
Very good.
Thank you, Michael, for submitting that little bit of feedback. If you want to submit your own feedback, we always welcome that. Go to wellstech.wells.net, and you can see all of our show notes there. You can comment on an episode. All of our social links are there as well. And you can always use good old-fashioned email, too, wellstech@wells.net. Sally, that's going to about do it for this episode of Wells Tech. We're looking forward to getting together again before the end of the year. And that last episode of the year is always kind of a special when we try and find a coworker, somebody who works usually in the Center for Mission and Ministry, and talk a little bit about what they're doing. Introduce you to them and figure out where technology is playing a role in their work. So we're going to welcome Melanie Giddings from from the Lutheran Schools Office, the theology curriculum coordinator, manager, director. I'm not sure what her exact title is. We'll find that out when we talk to Melanie. So looking forward to that. As always, thanks for tuning in. We look forward to talking with you again. Bye-bye.